Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude this study of Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, titled Rejoice in Christ Jesus. This is part 2 of 2.
You need to wake up to that. If you're watching the evening news on ABC, CBS, CNN, your brain is rotting and you need to stop watching that garbage and get in the Word and learn the truth. Too many Christians argue with me on this issue. Every Christian who argues with me on that issue is plumb stupid. They're ignorant. You have no sense about you if you're going to argue against the Jews having their own land and their own capital. Just brain dead. There are all kinds of Christians around. I believe they're saved. They'll go to heaven and they're stupid. So, I just have to throw this in there because, it makes me look good. Right here in the middle of this, Paul being all positive, what's he do? Beware! Because I'm criticized for that. People say, well, you should be more positive. I'm positive when the Bible's positive. I'm positive when it tells me to be positive. But I'm also negative when I'm supposed to be negative. The power of positive thinking is to blow your brains out. People who get hooked on that positive garbage like 104.9, the joke of a radio station we have in this town. Positive, positive, positive. I don't need just positive. That's psycho. Anybody with any sense is positive and negative. Every battery-operated thing in your life runs positive and negative. That's how life is. That's how we function. Positive and negative. And if you're all positive, you're a psycho. WCVO, psycho.
Amen.
And it's producing psycho Christians.
Amen.
We should be negative when we should be negative.
Amen.
I mean, I know that sounds obvious, but it's something that people don't get. There's a time to be negative. Parents, if your child gets into sin and you just say, I love them, so no matter what, I just love them. That's only half of what you're supposed to do as a parent. You're supposed to love them enough to rebuke them.
Amen.
If your child gets into sin, and I don't care what it is, and you don't rebuke them, you hate your child.
Yeah.
You don't love them. You're all about you. You're selfish, self-centered. You don't care about your children. You find out that they're into drugs, you should get in their face about it. You find out they're involved in sexual sin, you should be in their face about it. And when we had parents that would do that, our nation wasn't the mess that it is today. And it started, everybody says it started in the 60s, baloney. It started with the World War II generation.
Yep. Yep.
That's when the World War II parents came back from war, and a lot of them decided that they were just going to be all positive, and they wanted their children to live in a world where there's never anything negative, and everything's always positive. And that produced the hippies of the 60s.
Yep.
Amen? That's a fact. That's a fact. You love your children. You say, you know what? You don't have to yell at them. By the way, I'm yelling. I'm getting all, You don't have to walk up to your kid and say, But you walk up to them and say, you know, I love you. And what you're doing is wrong. I love you enough to tell you what you're doing is wrong. And if they're rejecting the gospel, I love you. But if you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell and I'm going to spend eternity in heaven without you. Amen.
Amen.
Paul loved these people enough that right in the middle of what he's talking, he says, oh, beware of dogs. Again, Gentile false teachers, not Shih Tzus. Or German Shepherds, or, you know. In other words, you can rejoice in the Lord and beware. Positive, negative. Balanced, not psycho. Amen?
Yes.
Come on, some of you agree with that.
Yes.
You can say, I love the Lord and I hate the devil.
Yes.
And I tell people, don't build me up or try to make me something, but there's nothing wrong with saying, I love my pastor and my church and I hate TBN and all the false preachers out there.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen?
Nothing wrong with that. You can say, I love my wife.
Amen.
And just leave it at that. Most preachers are too busy perverting the Bible to warn their flock. I got to make this quick. I want to move on, but there's this little lexical shell game going on I want to mention as we go on. First, they went out and they found ancient text, papyrus. Okay? Then they identified the way the pagans used that word. And then they defined the words in our lexicons that you have by using pagan definitions. And then they produced the lexicons with these new definitions. In other words, it's like this. You take modern language and you go 2,000 years from now, I don't believe we're going to be here that long, but 2,000 years from now, let's say our English language is now, defunct. And they go digging up these things that we now are, our books and things and everything, and they open it up and they see the, I'll get back to point five in just a second. They see something is called bloody. And they say, well, wait a minute, how do we define that word? Well, the way most of us here today would define that is by the top definition, to be covered, smeared, or running with blood, like a bloody nose. But Jill and her people and my people over in England, we would use it to express anger, annoyance, shock, or for emphasis, bloody. It's bloody. Unpleasant or perverse. So the only way to know, if you dug up something that's 2,000 years old in English, the only way to know how to define that word is how it's used in the context. You don't need a dictionary. You need to look at how it's used in the context. And so what they're doing with your Bible teaching today is instead of teaching you what it says and giving you some food for thought and illustrations and that sort of thing, instead they stand up here and play grammar and vocabulary. And they tell you, well, this word, dogs, we would think of it as, puppies. But it was also used in the day of the prophets and apostles to identify Gentile false teachers. However, we found in other ancient papyri that dogs are belly dancers. Therefore, the more accurate rendering in your Bible should be, beware of belly dancers. See how dumb that is? That's what most preachers are doing today in the pulpit. That's what most preachers... No, I'm not to correct you, Mark. Not liberals. Evangelicals. Right. Professing evangelicals are standing in the pulpit and correcting your Bible by using a lexicon that is a corrupt, pagan, false document. Defining the Bible instead of using the word in context and defining how it's used in the Bible, this Bible has an inbuilt dictionary. You look at the word and see how it's used in context. Don't go run into a lexicon. You're just asking to be led astray. If your preacher isn't constantly warning you of false teachers, and then they correct the Bible using lexicons, your preacher is a fake.
Amen.
Merry Christmas.
Amen.
That's just the truth. I love you enough to tell you that. Anybody out there listening, or anybody who you give this message to and you send a link to them or whatever, anybody, any preacher who isn't constantly warning you of the dogs and the false teachers out there, and if they stand up here correcting this book, they're not a preacher, they're fake.
Amen.
You can call them reverend and pastor and whatever you want. That doesn't change the fact. They're fake. So that brings us to verse 3 where he says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." See, now by looking right there, you can see that circumcision has nothing to do with flesh. Now, I'm going to say this. I am pro-circumcision for your young male babies. I went to school with men who weren't circumcised and they regretted it. And some of them paid for as adults to have it done. But if you are not circumcised, if your male children, you don't have them circumcised, that's your business. That's between you and the Lord and your son. You'll hear about it later if you don't have them circumcised. But it's still your business. Amen? And this is saying it's not having confidence in the flesh. It's not a circumcision of the flesh. Yeah. Is circumcision. It's those who are circumcised, those who promote circumcision of the flesh. And so we now come to verse 3, and he tells you, that's talking about the flesh. Beware of those who want to circumcise you according to the flesh, requiring that for salvation. As a medical thing, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people who thought they had to be circumcised of the flesh in order to be saved. And we studied that in the book of Galatians. And he's saying, we are the circumcision. And that's why it includes you women as well. Because it's not a fleshly thing we're talking about. We're talking about the Spirit. The unsaved are stuck to the flesh and condemned to die. They have not been spiritually circumcised. See? In Romans 7:24, Paul said this, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Spiritually, if you live in the flesh, if you're unsaved, you're in the flesh, then you are basically walking around with a dead body stuck to you. See, the real you is the Spirit and the soul. But you, if you walk in the flesh, it's like you're... That was a practice I was told that in Rome, they wanted to kill people. They would actually take a corpse and wrap it and tie it to the person and then make them walk around like that, and they would, the decay of that dead body would kill them. Spiritually, that's what you're doing when you choose to walk in the flesh. When you choose to walk in your own desires, your own lust, you're letting a dead corpse eat you alive. That's quite a picture, isn't it? You getting hungry?
No.
Dinner at lunchtime. Going to ruin your appetite. But that's the truth. That's how God put it. That's how the Bible tells you to think of it. You should think of your flesh as a rotting corpse. So our circumcision is by the Spirit, see? And He cuts us free from our dead flesh. When you are saved, your spirit, your soul, the inner you, the real you, the inner man has been cut from that body. Now, your body will die. Your body will still be buried. But then, at the time of the rapture, if you die before the rapture, your body will be raised. If you're alive at the time of the rapture, this is decaying right now before your eyes. And at the moment of the rapture, the dead body is glorified. And now, you will be body, soul, and spirit glorified. No more rotting corpse, no more flesh to worry about. You mentioned Colossians 2, John. Turn over there real quick. I'm going to close it out here in the next 5 minutes. Right after Philippians, Colossians. Turn a couple pages. Colossians 2, beginning in verse 10. Colossians 2, verse 10 says, And ye are complete in Him which is the head of all principality and power. That's talking about your Lord Jesus. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands.
Amen.
See, it's not talking about physical circumcision. It's a spiritual circumcision in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ.
Amen.
Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead.
Amen.
That's saying at the moment of your birth, being born again, Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." Why? Because at that moment, your body is circumcised from your spirit and soul.
Amen.
And you have now... Come on, watch me, not the baby. It's important you get this, what I'm teaching. I talk to people all the time, and they're grieved by the fact they don't understand this. Your body is to be circumcised from your soul. And now you can live knowing that even though I'm still in the flesh, that this is temporary, and at one time, someday, my body is going to be glorified, and I will no longer have this flesh to deal with. I will no longer have this flesh to bring me down. I will never grab my back when I get out of the chair. I'll never wake up in the morning and first thing I say is, oh... going to bed at night is freedom because you feel like you're about to die. Oh, you gotta lay down. Jenny will come to me sometimes and she's like, I'm going to bed or I'm going to pass out at 9 p.m. Yeah, but there's coming a day when Jenny ain't going to have a 9 p.m. bedtime anymore. Why? Because of the circumcision which is made without hands. And when we understand these things, we rejoice in Christ Jesus. See, a lot of people aren't rejoicing at Christmas time because they've not been set free, they've not been born again. Other Christians are all living by rules and don't do this, don't do that, living by the flesh. And they can't rejoice. They don't live free from the legalism and the rules that men will throw on you. And so they're stuck in the flesh. And there's some of the... I'm just saying. Look again at verse 3. Back in Philippians 3. For we are the circumcision which... what? Worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh.
Amen.
Putting confidence in our flesh will rob us of our joy.
Amen.
That's why you won't enjoy life. You won't enjoy your walk with the Lord. You can't enjoy just being around family and friends during these holidays and things because you've got all these, don't do this, don't do that, don't get... That's not how God operates. You're supposed to be set free. They call this legalism, legalist. And they're a miserable, joyless bunch. And for years, I've tried to help them to be set free. And they just... And a lot of it's pride because they'd have to admit that maybe they had some wrong ideas, some wrong convictions, and they put people through a lot of garbage for years because it, even though it was wrong. Don't be proud. I've been wrong. How many of you have been wrong? Yeah, we've all been wrong. I used to preach out of the NIV. Did you hear me? Did you hear what I said? Do you imagine that? I used to preach out of the NIV. Just think of that. Can you imagine? So what did I do? I swallowed my pride and said, you know what? I was stupid. I'm not going to preach out of that garbage rag anymore. I'm going to preach out of the King James Bible. That's all it takes. Swallow your pride. Just swallow your pride. It's a whole lot more fun. Because when you set yourself up with something, you always got to be right. That's a burden too great to bear. And we were in Colossians 2. I'm going to read it real quick. I know I'm holding you over. Went long. I'm windy. Colossians 2. Wherefore, beginning verse 20, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why as though living in the world are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of who?
Men.
Men. Amen. You can make a choice. As we read verse 3 again in closing, you can choose to be the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. We're not rule keepers. We worship in Spirit.
Amen?
Amen. Now, that I'll just say this. That doesn't mean you're going to go off and, you know, start committing sin. It means that you're now free to walk in the Spirit of God, which means it's not going to lead you to sin. But it will also not only not lead you into sin, but it also will not lead you into control by human beings with their rules and their regulations.
Amen.
There's full, complete liberty.
Amen.
Something too many Christians don't experience. Joy. Rejoice in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That's what we started with in the title. Amen. Let's close the prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this... message of your word. Pray it got through to those who need to hear it. And Lord, that starting right here with me, that we will not fall for the traps that the enemy sets for us in either falling into temptation or lust or sin, or falling into the legalistic religion of the flesh, but that we will walk in the Spirit As Jesus said, these words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Lord, that would be the most wonderful Christmas gift a person could get. Even as a saved brother or sister in Christ, if they're under some kind of man-made bondage, to be set free. May it be so. And they would be free to live the life that you want them to live in the Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close by singing number 100. O come, O ye faithful. So stand, if you would, sing 414, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? Sing that third verse again. Pay attention to these last two verses as we sing.
Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this my world a friend to grace? Help me on to God.
Sing a cappella.
Sure I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain.